let's get one thing straight. The car needed a valet anyway. I'm only a little dog. I had a few bowls of water. Accidents happen. Could have been worse. Anyway, it's sorted. They've got AA car insurance, so they're covered to drive other cars. Listen, word to the wise, yeah? Maybe make sure this one is an air freshener, okay?
With AA car insurance, our members get fully comprehensive insurance to drive other cars too. Go to the AA.ie. Who's got clever car insurance? Acceptance criteria, terms and conditions apply. AA Ireland Limited trading as AA Insurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. RT
Radio 1. 1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Philip Boucher Hayes in for Joe just for the day, and I'm looking at the front of the soon-to-be No More Times Ireland edition, their lead story above the fold there. All whiplash patients, they say, make compensation claims. This is based on a study that was done in NUIG of 15 years of people with whiplash injuries, real, or some maybe a little bit more apparent than real, going to see spine specialists. And the study found that nearly all of these patients seeing a specialist stopped seeing the specialist after they had finished suing and that their litigation had ended. Now, of course, there are obviously explanations for all of this, some of them very, very good explanations, but it doesn't look good, does it? It doesn't say much for this perceived compensation culture. 1850 715 815. Teddy, good afternoon. You had an accident, but you didn't sue. Two accidents, in fact.
Hi, Philip. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What
I was just talking to my researcher, Pat, was that, and I told him of two occasions that I had, well, I suppose, injuries. One occasion I finished up in hospital and for 6 days, and again, it probably wasn't compensation time back in 1980, but I didn't sue. Do you know what happened?
Yeah, tell us.
Well, at the time, I was working in Dublin, and I was going into Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club to play a game of squash. And as I ran in the front door, there was plate glass windows on the bottom, and the groundsmen were doing something there with the flower plants. And whatever way they were doing something with the flower plants, it kind of redirected the entrance, and I didn't see the door. Nothing familiar with the place, and I ran into the plate glass window. Now, I walk up in the changing room with a very nice man attending me. Seemingly, he told me he was a GP, and they put me into a taxi, and they sent me to St. Vincent's Hospital, and I spent a week in St. Vincent's Hospital.
And did you not sue because you felt that you were mostly to blame, or had Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club been negligent in not marking this plate glass window?
They would have been negligent in redirecting flower plants and not having a sign there to say that, because the doors had signs on them to say, you know, had lines on them that you wouldn't run into them, but the glass on the side didn't. But I took a bit of responsibility myself. I suppose I was in a bit of a rush. And Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis, they put me in a taxi, they brought me to the hospital. Thanks be to God, I was in the VHI, and they looked after, say, 90% of my bills. Now, if you remember the time, flavour of the month was nice, thick, bright jackets. That one was dry, all right, with blood, as I broke my nose. And afterwards, there was a couple of bills I had, and I put them together, and I just wrote a letter to Fitzwilliam Lawn Tennis Club. And I got a check in the post for maybe £70 or £80 at the time, and I left it at that. And I think at the time that even if they didn't pay the £70 or £80, I probably wouldn't have fallen. I don't think I would have fallen to.
And why is that, Teddy? Was it because you just felt you weren't going to be able to hold your head up in company if the story came up?
No. Like I said, compensation culture wasn't an issue at the time. It was very odd that something like that would happen. It's just that I come from an environment and I come from a background that, you know, something happens to you, you fall down, you get up and you dust yourself off and you just get on with life. And that's the culture I was brought up in.
And what was the other incident, Teddy?
The other incident was about maybe 8 or 9 years ago. I was in a supermarket in South Kerry, and it was a bright summer's day. And I was, again, doing some shopping, and I was walking out the door of the shop. Well, I wouldn't say I was walking out, I was just trotting out the door of the shop. And again, they were rearranging shelves in the shop to do with the newspaper stand. And I ran straight out, I broke the plate glass window, and I ended up on my knees.
Another plate glass window, Teddy?
Yeah, he says, you need plate glass windows, we don't get on. But again, I woke up with a crowd around me, but just a small facial scrape and some scrapes on my hand. But again, the manager of the store, he brought me to a GP on a Sunday afternoon, and I saw him and I said there was nothing wrong with me. I didn't feel there was anything wrong. But I do appreciate that maybe sometimes injuries might be surfaced for 2 or 3 days, but nothing surfaced. And the owner of the supermarket, he was kind enough to ring me a couple of days later, and I explained it to him, and I said, look, I appreciate your call, but I think that'll be it. I don't think this is going to go any further.
And it didn't go any further. But did you not sue again because you felt that it was, 50-50 as to who was to blame here, or perhaps...
If it came to a jury, I think the supermarket would have been to blame. But again, if I wasn't running, if I was walking rather than running, I probably would have seen, this particular day, it was dark in the shop and it was bright outside, so... And I suppose as a compliment to the shop, the plate glass windows were all clean, which meant there was no marks on them, which meant that, again, I was trotting and I ran out through the window, if you know what I mean.
Could have been more embarrassing if you'd found yourself taking the stand and having to answer questions about your previous history with plate glass windows, which is obviously not great.
But I don't think that would have been the circumstance. Like, if I walked out through a plate glass window that wasn't marked, I think I would have had it just became. I think in both instances, looking back.
Anyway, your attitude is you pick yourself up, you dust yourself down, and you just get on with it. Maybe look for some of the initial small expenses, like you say, the bloody clothes, but otherwise. Yeah. Get on with it. 1850-715-815. Orla, good afternoon.
Can I just add something there, Philip?
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes, Philip, and please don't take this as a criticism now, but sometimes on occasions, the commentators, when they're interviewing people, they don't ask the people to make up their own. Sometimes there's leading questions asked to force people down certain ways of answering questions. Now, you might accept that.
Go on, Teddy. What do you mean? What are you talking about specifically?
I remember many years ago listening to the Pat Kenny show, right? And when he had, I think, TV3 at the time, or Radio 2, or Radio 1 at the time.
Pat Kenny. Who's he? Never heard of him now.
Oh, hold on a second. I'm joking. But it was at the time that, recession was, the Celtic Tiger had gone missing for a while, and there was a crowd, he had an audience where negative equity had hit these people who had bought houses at the top of the scale. And these were, sometimes they were very unlucky people, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everyone that bought a house and ended up negative equity was their responsibility, but there was one particular person that was asked a question about what they did, and the same person said something about, and something something that Pat didn't pick them up, this is that it was a female, and she said that she saw this and she saw that, and she said she even had to sell her €7,000 engagement ring for something like €2,000 to try and make ends meet. And Pat should have asked her, he says, you spent what on an engagement ring? I just thought that, we all had sympathy for this person and her husband and maybe family. I forget the circumstances. But the fact that Pat never picked her up and the fact that she had spent €7,000 on an engagement ring, I just found that was incorrect. He should have asked a difficult question.
Let's keep it with the injuries, though, and let me go on to Orla. 1850-715-815. Orla, good afternoon. You didn't sue either.
I didn't, actually, and what happened to me was I fell while running in heels in a supermarket here in Castlebar where I live in February 2018.
And was there anything wrong with the floor, or was it just you in the heels?
No, the floor was dry, there were no obstacles in my way, and in fact, I literally had run in on my way home from work to grab a few groceries, got to the checkout, realised I'd forgotten something, turned to the man behind me and said, I just need to get one thing. I took off up to the end of the shop, to the dairy part, grabbed my thing with a carton of cream, ran back, flew back, and the next thing I knew, I was on the floor, and my main concern was, oh God, I need to just jump up, dust myself down, and rock on here.
And were you injured?
And I realised, when I couldn't get off the floor, I realised very quickly, yes, that I was injured when I couldn't get myself off the floor. Now, the staff were really good. They came over to me, and they got a seat, lifted me up and sat me down. An ambulance was called. I was carted off to hospital. They were brilliant in the hospital and diagnosed a dislocated shoulder.
But you didn't think that there should have been somebody standing by your side or running along alongside you saying, now don't run, Orla, you've got to slow down, you could end up on your backside here.
Absolutely not.
You took the blame on yourself.
My choice. was entirely, I knew what I was doing. As I said, I turned to the guy behind me, thought, I have to get this last item, I have to need it, or, you know, urgently. And I ran back, and I knew, and flew back to the end of the shop, and flew back down, and the next thing I knew, I was on the floor. It was totally my responsibility. And this is the issue here. I mean, that's the, I mean, the crux of the issue is personal responsibility for our actions. You know, as I said, I was running in high heels. I'm a lot more careful now in terms of footwear, I can say, for sure. And just, you know, the last minute nature of it and you know, just rushing in at the last minute and just, you know, and like, I was fine. I felt well. As I said, the shop floor was dry. There were no obstacles in my way. And, you know, ultimately I thought, God, you idiot, Orla. What were you thinking of?
And same question as I put to Teddy, would you have a problem holding your head up in company if you had thought of taking action against the supermarket?
I would, actually, because, I mean, it was the last thing on my mind. My concern was to be well, you know, that was the crucial thing, because I knew, as I said, I had done damage when I couldn't just pick myself up off the floor. Like, it happens, people trip, you know, and usually you just jump up, dust yourself down and rock on. And there are serious cases, obviously, and there are genuine cases. But in a situation like that, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that had I not been running and rushing, it would not have happened. Yeah. So it was down to me.
There are serious cases, as it happens. Orla, stay on the line. 51551. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
You are one of those cases, a whiplash.
Well, I feel that I am. The accident was not, I wasn't responsible for it. It just happened. Any accident can happen. It could have been my fault. Somebody just crashed into the back of me. I was stationary in traffic and they crashed into the back of me. That was in October 2017.
And what are the injuries?
Well, this whiplash, but what is whiplash? I don't know. I have pain in my back, shoulder, neck, up into my head at times, tingling down my arms at times. Not bad.
And right now, how bad is the pain? On a scale of 1 to 10, like?
Pain would be 7 today in my shoulder.
And is that because you've been doing anything in particular, or is a 7 normal?
At the moment, 7 would be normal. Now, if I tried to hoover or do normal activities, I would be back to square one.
So even simple things like tying a shoelace, is that possible?
It is. It is. I can't lift up my arms rather than go down. My left shoulder particularly.
Okay. Would you attempt to pick something up off the floor?
I would, yes, and I would be able to do that.
Or reach for something from a high shelf?
No.
Okay, so it's pretty serious. It's pretty life-changing, this injury.
Well, it is. It is. And it's going on since October 2017.
And is it your feeling now that there's a little bit of a question mark hanging over whiplash injuries, that when you say, I have a whiplash injury, there might be a raised eyebrow or two?
Yeah, well, that's why I phoned in this survey or whatever, where whiplash has been, once the case is settled, as it were, then they don't need to see a doctor or physio or osteopath again.
Well, no, sorry. Let me just clarify that. They don't continue to see the specialist, but they might continue seeing a physiotherapist. But
okay.
It's just the spine specialist that they stop going to. And maybe it's because, we have to take this into consideration, there's no point in continuing to go to a spine specialist.
That's
if they're
true.
Not if they're not going to operate on you and they are just saying, go on to the physio there.
That's the next stage, and that's what will help you.
Yeah, why would you continue to waste 200 on every visit going to a specialist?
Well, this is it. I don't know. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't. No. So I just thought that it was a bit unjust, really. And it's the, I mean, I did take a claim. I had to eventually. I wasn't getting anywhere with the insurance company, and I just felt, well, and I did say in the very beginning that I wasn't out to make money on this, but I was blowed if I was going to lose money.
And where is that case now?
I had to get a car. Negotiating. Negotiations are going on with my solicitor and the insurance company.
Okay.
And they have made me an offer, and it's not a bad offer, if I was okay now, but I'm not. And I can't say that if I go back to normal activity or duties or whatever, I'd be back to square one. And I've spent a fortune on physio and the osteopath and the doctors.
And you would think at the very least that you should be reimbursed for those actual expenses. But in terms of how much you're going to be given, I mean, we've heard all of this reporting now that here the average whiplash injury payment is of the order of 17 or 18 grand versus 4,000 sterling over in the UK. What do you think would be appropriate? Which figure do you think would be the most just for the kind of injuries that you're looking at now? Would you feel shortchanged if you got 4 grand?
I would. I'd nearly spent that on medical intervention at this stage.
Let's just set the medical intervention aside. Let's just say that if you were able to present a receipt for something, you're going to get all of that back, OK? I'm talking about over and above that, actual compensation for your pain and suffering. Would 4 grand be too much, too little?
It would, yeah.
And what do you think is the appropriate figure for the kind of pain? I mean, bearing in mind, you're a woman who says that your level of pain typically is around a 7. You can't take things off a shelf. You can't lift things up with one arm. And there's no potential relief.
It's not about money. It's about justice and fairness.
So is there an element of wanting to punish the person who went into the back of you?
Oh, no, it could have been me. I could have done it to him. Not at all. But that insurance companies would be realistic. I don't know how you find out the genuine person to the non-genuine person. I don't know.
Well, that was my next question to you. In all of your medical reports that you've got for this now, because of this kind of slightly ambiguous or grey nature of whiplash injuries, are they able to point to something absolutely concrete and they can say there is evidence of soft tissue injury here, here and here that would explain the symptoms that Margaret is feeling?
Yes.
There is, okay. And that's absolutely categorical and it can't be questioned.
Yes.
Well, in that case, you're due something. The question remains, what do you think is the appropriate figure?
Well, I wouldn't put a figure on it. I really wouldn't.
Would you feel disappointed with 17,000, the average kind of payment?
I would at this stage, yeah, because it's going on so long and I can't guarantee if this claim was sorted in the morning. That I would be fine and that I could lead a life that I had been leading before.
What is the prognosis? Do they offer any hope for relief, Margaret?
Well, all the specialists said that, you know, it seems like a 2-year injury. It's now 18, 19 months. But is that if I don't do anything out of the way to aggravate it again? Or can I lead a normal life?
And what do you think you will
at this
happen?
Moment, I can't see it being resolved in 2 years. I may be a whole lot better than I am now. But if I get pushed again, if I fail or whatever, I will be back to square one, I would believe. I believe it's a sentence at this stage, and it's just unfortunate.
All right. Margaret, I'm sorry to hear about that. Stay on the line there, though. 1850 715 815. Lord Mayor Neil Ring, good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad, Philip. Good afternoon.
You didn't make a claim. What happened?
Oh, this is going back, I think, about a year and a half ago. And I was in my car parking outside Summerhill Post Office. And a bicycle came the wrong way. It just shot across the road from where he should have been, from the lane he should have been on. And I was getting out of the car. The bike hit the door of the car, which slammed into me and basically knocked me out. I ended up in the matter. I actually went home. I thought it was grand. You know, there was a bit of blood. The girls in the post office just dabbed the blood and all that sort of thing. And that night I began to get quite ill and, you know, getting sick. And so I said I must have a bit of concussion. So I went up to the matter the next day and they did all the tests. I had a bit of concussion and there's no stitches or anything needed. But
public service announcement time here. If you have concussion injuries, you shouldn't wait until the next day, though.
I know, absolutely. Absolutely, Philip. I learned that was one lesson I did learn because they really gave out to me in the hospital. I mean, they were lovely, of course, but they were saying, look, you know, once you're
they were right to chide you a little bit there, weren't they?
Yeah. I wasn't the Lord Mayor at the time, so they were able to give out to me.
Oh, we're not allowed to give out to you now? Is that the rule? I didn't realise that your worship
was
rule.
No comments about the Mansion House or anything like that allowed. I wish. But I certainly, it never even crossed my mind to put in a claim because, you know, I was fine within, you know, say a week or so. And now, unlike Margaret, if there's long-term damage...
Hang on, why would it never have crossed your mind to do it? I mean, you
because it
were
wasn't the way
the
I was brought
right.
up. It wasn't the way I was brought up. I remember my mum was hit by a car and I was actually with her. I was only really small and it hit her knee and the man was in an awful state. And, of course, my mother was the type, look, you know, there's no... I'm fine, you know, and she hobbled home and her knee got better. And now maybe 30 years later, it's given her a bit of stick. But
you're saying that it wasn't right for you. Do you find yourself, in spite of your better, more generous nature, then passing judgment on people who do take an action, who do sue?
I think we do, and we do because you see some of the extraordinary claims, and I do feel there's a bit of a movement, a shift in the sort of. The culture, there's definitely the compensation culture, but I think now, luckily enough, the courts are actually getting a little bit tougher on people, and with videos, and that's one, I'm not a great believer in the phones and everything up on Facebook and all, but isn't it great when you see somebody who's put in a false claim, and next thing they're doing acrobatics around the local dance floor 2 weeks later, and you know, allegedly they can't even move. So, I mean, it's lovely. I think people like when they see that happening, because I know in my own area, businesses that literally just had to close up because of insurance. And it was only the insurance bill was the killer, because a little cafe I know and someone slipped, and again, you know, we slip, accidents happen, but the insurance claim was so big that and the premium went up, the lady closed the little cafe. And that was her livelihood gone. And we see things like that.
Two adventure businesses, outdoor adventure businesses, just within the last 48 hours, I think, have ended up having to shut up shop and deny children that particular outlet over the course of the summer months because the insurance premiums are just ones that they can't pay. Anyway, I want to get other voices in here. 51551 is the text number. Thank you very much, Lord Mayor Neil Rigg. John, good afternoon. What is it with plate glass doors on this programme today? You ran through one.
Yes, Philip. When I was 12, back in 1975, we were on holidays in a hotel in Westport, and I ran through a plate glass doorway which had been polished and shined by the cleaning staff, and I didn't even see it. So I went straight through it. I got cut. I need the stitches and what have you. But my parents wouldn't have even considered suing the hotel. In fact, I was even grounded for a couple of days as punishment. You know, it wouldn't have crossed my parents' mind.
I hope they gave you a hug and a kiss and said, are you all right, before they ended up punishing you.
I got it given out to and then, you're not going outside for tomorrow or whatever. I was actually punished, you know.
That was 1975, when obviously plate glass windows were, or doors were, an awful lot cleaner back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I still went through it. It wouldn't have dawned on my parents, and, you know, there's a complete shift nowadays if that happened. You know, that you see the awards that are in the paper for this, the simplest of slippings or whatever, and they get stupid money.
And that lesson learned as a 12-year-old in 1975 from your mum and dad, is that something that has carried through? Would it colour your attitude towards compensation claims now?
Oh, I wouldn't sue. No, not a horse. I wouldn't.
All right.
Not for something like that, because, I mean, it was... I wouldn't. I'd sue if I was badly injured and someone else was at fault. But if I had an accident myself that I've caused in a premises or I slipped or something, it wouldn't even cross my mind to sue. Wouldn't be on my radar.
When you hear of somebody like Margaret, though, who is, you're still there, aren't you, Margaret?
Yeah. I am indeed, yes.
When you hear somebody like Margaret living in pain at level 7 each and every day and making a claim for it, what do you think of her claim, John?
Genuine cases, I'd have no problem. It's the bogus cases that I'd have an issue with. Compensation is great for those who need it, but for those who don't need it, I think it's shameful to sue. You know, because there are bogus claims for whiplash and all these things. But for a case like Margaret's, I mean, I heard her, she's obviously in pain. Yes, fine. That's what insurance and compensation is for okay. The genuine case.
1850 715 815. Therese, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm fine, thank you.
You had a whiplash injury diagnosed. What happened?
Basically, this is a long, long time ago, before the bypass was in Naysa. We were going to a funeral on a Friday, very wet Friday evening in November. Somebody rear-ended me because it was pouring rain at the time. I took no notice of it. All I wanted to be worried about was the car bumper, which the lady jewellery replaced. She was talking about Donnelly visas. That will tell you how long ago it was, because she thought she just wanted to go to the States. I didn't think anything of it. I took it to Fionnuala. I was at a funeral. A doctor at the funeral said, "You're going to have whiplash. You're going to be sore." I said, "I'm fine, I'll take a few numbers." And I wasn't even sore. Years upon years later, actually 4 years ago, I started losing power in my arms, had neck pain, etc. Went to a spinal surgeon, and he said, "You've had previous whiplash." I ended up having a cervical spinal fusion.
Did he attribute your injuries then to that whiplash?
Yes.
Back then?
Yeah.
Absolute draw a line between the two. No question that there had been something else that you had been doing.
No,
bad
no.
posture or sleeping strangely
weightlifting
or something, no?
No, absolutely not. I ended up having a cervical spinal fusion, which worked, thank God. And I'm fine. But my thing is, pain is very relative and it's very difficult to treat and diagnose for anybody. And somebody is, for one person's pain level 7, is it different to somebody else's pain level 7?
Do you wish that you had taken legal action now against that person?
No, not at all. She was a student. It was pouring rain. It wasn't her fault. I understood that.
Yeah, but if somebody goes into the back of you, the back of you, even in the pouring rain, even if it is dark, they are still at fault.
Oh, I know, they're still lying. Oh, absolutely. That's why I got the bumper out.
They weren't driving carefully enough. She caused your injuries.
Not. She was distracted. Hmm. But this is prior to litigation culture. It's hard enough to get to see a surgeon nowadays without all these people chasing money.
All right. 1850 715 815. Nora, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. What happened to your son, James?
Oh, my goodness, I still remember it, Philip. He's a mad Liverpool supporter, as are all his brothers, and he was at a Liverpool-Chelsea match. He was in the main stand, and Liverpool scored, and it was the first of Torres's goal. So he was jumping up and down, and he didn't realise that the seat was damaged, and it kept cutting the back of his leg, and there was blood everywhere. So he was brought to the first aid section and, you know, they looked after him. And all he heard the second goal and the guy said, "Now stay quiet there now, James, and I'll stitch it for you." And he said, "Have you ever been in a butcher shop?" And James is a butcher. And he said, "You know the way they stitch meat? That's the way I'm going to stitch your leg. And when you go home, you can take get the stitches taken out." And James said, the incident officer then said to James, "You know, you have a claim here, mate." And James said, "Oh, God," he said, no way. I'm coming here since I was a little boy. No way would I claim against Liverpool."
Well, why ever and not now? Because, look, clearly, if the seat was damaged and he hadn't damaged it, one that should have been replaced. It shouldn't have been there. It was an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah. Absolutely, Philip, but all he could think of was he could hear the crowd roaring again and he thought, "My God, have Chelsea scored?" But it was Liverpool who had scored the second goal. They won that day 2-0.
Maybe if Chelsea had won, he might have sued.
And Whitlatel, then Torres, He transferred to Chelsea for 50 million.
Well, then he definitely should have sued.
I know. But, you know, the culture, I always told them, you know, don't sue, blah, blah, or whatever. And I think the fact that they work for themselves, they would be very conscious of people suing.
Ah, well, there's an interesting thing there. They are small business owners themselves, yeah?
Yes, yes.
So that definitely informs or colours their decision.
Yes, it does. I think it does, Philip. And they, you know, they can identify with, you know, with small businesses that are, you know, that are sued. And oh my goodness, you know.
Wouldn't that be an interesting piece of study now for those NUIG people to pick up on? The proportion of people who are litigants in personal injury cases who are self-employed versus those who are public servants or employed by the state.
Philip, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. Big time.
Well,
big time.
No, what we haven't. We've just asked a question. We don't want to be making assumptions about people who are in the employ of the state, but it's a question that's worth putting out there.
Yeah.
1850-715-815. Nora,
Philip,
thank you very much.
Great to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you too,
bye-bye,
Nora.
Bye-bye,
thank
bye-bye,
you.
Bye-bye.
Emma,
bye-bye.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm grand.
What happened to you?
I was stopped to turn onto a right junction legally and correctly, and I was hit from behind by a truck that was overloaded and speeding. But that's besides the point. It's quite frustrating when you've been somebody at the tail end of a genuine accident, when you're hearing that, oh, it's a culture of claim and false claims, and it's just upsetting when you hear someone who's had a trip or a fall, and it just clouds everyone's view of anyone who claims.
You think that there's an automatic assumption now that if you're making a claim that it must be bogus or spurious?
Yeah, to a point, or maybe just that's what you start to feel personally because that's what you're hearing. I am a public servant, by the way. I work in the health service and it impacts
hugely. Oh dear,
hugely.
I knew I was going to walk myself into trouble with that one.
But it impacts hugely on our work because we know that we're working in an area of high litigation as well. But it's just quite. But I think part of it is that any injury that you have to initially dip into your own pocket through no fault of your own. And there are loss of earnings. And there are, I mean, my family, we're not in a position to get to have all the physio I need or the osteopath I need. I have maintenance, just enough to keep me working. But it's, I do think as well that, like private consultants, it's €500 to see one of those.
Okay. All of which are justifiable expenses. So is your point that you feel uncomfortable now claiming for those?
No, I don't. But I just think if people will be more considerate to genuine claims, and I think if there could be a system where injuries could be dealt with in maybe a slightly different way, there's no need for the courts to be involved, maybe, or there's no need for you have to refer to the wealthier you are, probably the more you can claim because you can give receipts.
Yeah, but isn't that what we created the Personal Injuries Assessment Board for?
To a point, but
the solicitors fought tooth and nail against the creation of it because it was potentially going to be taking business from them.
I still think there's a lot of solicitors who gain out of accidents.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
You have that view. I'm not going to get drawn on it now, though, because I've got to take an ad break. Emma, thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Kieran, good afternoon. How are you?
Philip, how are you?
You had a car accident in 2016.
Yeah. excuse me. In 2016, I was stopped at a roundabout there in a queue of traffic, and the ironicness of all this story is that a cash in transit van drove into the back of me and pushed me into one of the other vehicles in front. So it was quite as you can imagine, a cash in transit van is armoured, so quite a heavy vehicle. Long and short it was, I ended up with whiplash and soft tissue injuries from the accident. I had to go and see the doctor a couple of times. I then had to go through a period of physio. But thankfully, touch wood, there was nothing long term. I had a period of of time where when I was particularly in a driving position that I would have, you know, been subject to pain and stuff in the lower back. But at the end of it all, you know, thankfully I came out the other side and I was fine.
But the point that you wanted to make was that you had medical bills amounting to about €1,000 and being reimbursed for those would have been enough for you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. And that was all. And look, you know, most people would say, oh, I wasn't looking for money. And I genuinely wasn't. I just wanted, I was lucky enough that the company at the time were very good and they paid for any of my I was working with, because I was on the road at the time for the company I was working with. They covered my medical expenses at the time, but obviously I had to reimburse them at a period. So I went about trying to do that and naively went to my solicitor believing I could just claim back all the receipts I had from my doctors and my physio, totaling the €1,000, give or take, but there was no way of doing it. I had to take out a personal injury claim.
Is this so that the solicitor could see their costs reimbursed?
Well, look... I suppose at the end of the day, he doesn't guess his costs unless he wins the case, yeah.
But should there not have been a mechanism for you to just go directly to the Cash and Transit Vans insurers and say, here, I'd like these, please?
I would agree, yeah, yeah. And look, maybe if at the time if I'd thought about it more or dug a bit more, you know, maybe that could have been done through myself, I don't know. But naturally at the time I'd never, thankfully, touch wood, I've been on the road a long time and I've never been involved in an accident up until that point. So I was naturally just going through the channels which I thought would be able to get me back my medical expenses. But that wasn't the case.
But just couldn't do that. Why not make the claim? Everybody else is. You're entitled to it. You are, to borrow a phrase, a citizen of this country. And the rules apply to you just as they do to everybody else. Why not make the claim?
Why not is fair enough and granted to the caller. I think your first caller was Margaret, maybe. Yeah. I think that was her name. You know, someone that's left with long-term injury and pain and, you know, a suffering within our day-to-day life, absolutely. But for me, I was back in work while I was getting the physio done. And yes, I was on back driving and I was suffering a bit of lower back pain, but it was manageable. And at the end of it all, over a period of months, I was back to normal. So for me, I was like, all I need is for someone just to give me back what I've paid on my medical expenses through an injury that wasn't caused by my own.
Explain that thinking to the kind of person who would automatically make an assumption that, well, hang on, I've paid my insurance premiums for years now. I have been wronged. I am entitled to make this claim. I am entitled to whatever compensation I get out of it. Why wouldn't I do it? What part of this equation do you see so differently?
I suppose I just felt that. Yeah, I just didn't think like that, I suppose the answer to that question.
Simple as that, all right.
I just didn't think like that. I just wanted to claim back what I'd spent, was money that I at the time wasn't expecting to spend out on medical expenses. And that's all I wanted back. Look, I've been on a complete flip side of it in a previous chapter of my life. I worked in vehicle recovery. So I was at the scenes of accidents at the time, and on some of the main roads around Ireland, I've been witness to maybe that type of person that, you know, there's a situation where they're in a rear-end accident and, you know, there might be a scuff on the bumper, and I've seen it with my own eyes. And
they're walking around holding their back or their neck, writhing in pain.
Or they're in the car, Philip, and the roof is cut off the car and they're taken out of the car. You know, and they're maybe the type of people that is why, you know, our insurance costs in this country are phenomenal.
Kieran, are you talking about fakers having the roof cut off the car by way of substantiating their claim?
I that's my own opinion. But
okay, no, fair enough. In your title, your opinion, you're not naming anybody. But so in your opinion, you have seen people who have taken the fire service away from looking after their more urgent cases to cut the roof off their car while they exaggerate their claims.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, yeah. I've had a good bit of experience in that side of the industry. And I've seen accidents on the main roads in Ireland where there would have been a fender bender, as you might use the word, with minimal damage, and people have had roofs cut off cars. I'm not saying they're doing it to extenuate any sort of insurance claims, but you know, if you were and that was part of the picture you were building, you know, it's going to go a long way.
So you've made an informed decision anyway that this is something that when you find yourself in a similar situation you want to have nothing to do with. All right, stay on the line there, though, Kieran. 51551, yeah, the text. Sean, good afternoon, how are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. Good afternoon.
What happened to you?
I used to haul cement going back 10, 12 years ago, yeah? And I was, you know, the cement tanker, I put the pipe on. The pipe was belonged to the company, the cement works, and the tanker was belonged to the company that I work for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I put the pipe on, started the engine to blow the cement up into the silo, and I went back around just to check it. Was there any little leaks? Because sometimes there can be. Off goes the pipe. The cement, a 4-inch pipe, hit me in the stomach, and it blew up, kind of up my chest, up my nose, and into my eyes.
And sorry, the pipe was presumably pressurised. Did it give you a fair old belt?
Yeah, it'd be weighing in or about 2 bar pressure.
Okay.
Which is about 28 pounds. It wouldn't be that much, but it was enough to blow the cement up maybe a 100-foot silo or a 70-foot silo, blow it up and into the top and into the silos.
But you got cement up into your eyes and your nose...
Yes, and I had, I will explain to you after, but I got to the hospital eventually it was Arkeen Hospital that time in Waterford. Now it's the Waterford region.
Yeah, but were you blinded by getting cement in your eyes?
Yeah. I had a wet towel wrapped around my face while they took me down to the hospital in Waterford, okay? So then I was brought in into A&E, into the eye department, and they put drops in your eye to relax your eye while they're trying to wash it out.
You made a full recovery, obviously, anyway, Sean, but you had some serious injuries. Go back to the pipe. Was it faulty or had you not attached it properly, do you believe?
I could never tell, Philip. Honestly, I could never tell. I used it afterwards. I used the very same pipe afterwards. There's a chance maybe it wasn't put on right or maybe it wasn't sealed properly. Okay. I honestly couldn't tell. So, I'm not an engineer or anything. I'm just a truck driver.
Well, it's interesting that the company didn't choose to replace it. But your attitude anyway was that when it was a 50-50 call like this, you weren't going to sue.
No, I wasn't going to sue. And I was self-employed. Plus the fact that my truck was parked in the place while I was in hospital. And then I got a lift back up, or my wife would have driven me back up for the truck when I came out of hospital. Okay? Now, I was just 10 days, I think 9.5 days, I was actually blind.
Jeepers. They must have been very worrying days.
Yeah. And I was learning, I was explaining to your researcher there that what they do with you in the hospital is you treat the place, say your dinner, they treat it like a clock. They put your meat at 6 o'clock, your potatoes at 3 o'clock, and your veg maybe at 9 or 12. You treated the plate like a clock. That's how you got going. And honestly, I was well able to eat, Philip. Honestly, I really was, yeah? But I never entered my head to sue them. Never. And I was self-employed.
All right. Sean, thank you very much for your call. I'm going to have to take a break, but thank you very much for your call.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Sandra, you have a fascinating story, but unfortunately very little time to tell it. You settled for the damages to your car after you had been crashed into, but you didn't make a personal injury call. And then 15 months after the accident, you got a phone call.
That's right. The first phone call I got was a bit earlier than that, when I was asked to go to the other insurance, or the insurance company's company doctor. And I went along, and I was puzzled as to why I had to go, but I went. And then 6 or 8 months later than that, I got a phone call one Friday afternoon offering me, I think, that's at $12,500 to settle the claim that day.
But you hadn't made a claim.
Had made no claim whatsoever, had not involved a solicitor, hadn't even spoken to a solicitor, hadn't even gone to a doctor.
They weren't mixing you up with somebody else, were they?
Well, they rang me again the following Friday.
And were the amounts going up each time?
Each time, yeah.
They must have thought that you were trying to play hardball with them while you're trying to figure out what's going on.
Absolutely.
And how much did the claims go up, the payment go up to?
It went up to just under 20,000. Euro.
Did you take the money?
Yes.
Were you ever given an explanation as to why this happened?
No explanation. I was given a form to sign that would be my final claim.
But you hadn't made a claim.
I made no claim in the first place at all.
Well,
I was literally being pestered by phone calls every Friday. And I did ask somebody, and they told me that, you know, when the insurance company wants to settle, they'll normally ring at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon.
Well, there's an insight into why the rest of our premiums are going up, perhaps. Sandra, thank you very much for that. Unfortunately, I have to take another break.